There he is.
Good.
The battery was dead.
Is your schedule that busy? You can't make any of your school shit.
My battery was dead.
We're just about to take Gruel, and I'll get you.
Oh, God.
I don't want to go any further.
Council will come to order. Carl, please call a roll.
Adams?
Here.
Leonard?
Here.
Saltzman?
Here.
Sten? Potter?
Here.
I'd like to remind folks that prior to offering public testimony to City Council, lobbyists must declare which lobbying entity he or she is authorized to represent. Please read the first communication.
Item 1131, request of Hector Lara Cervantes to address Council regarding unauthorized state and federal research demonstrations and experiments. He has requested to come October 10th.
Okay. Please read the next.
1132, request of Walter Valenta to address Council regarding update on the plan to cut trees on Bridgeton Road and subsequent restraining order.
Good morning, folks. When you speak, you have 3 minutes. Please state your name for the record.
Hi, Walter Valenta.
Tom Kelly.
Hi, we live in Bridgeton Road, and we're giving you an update on what's going on the trees. We gave you a packet, and on the front of that packet is a color photo. Every one of those trees in that photo were to schedule to be cut down. The neighborhood, this has been across your desk for a while, but the neighborhood managed to have a county judge stay that cutting. The stay was upheld yesterday. It's going to a hearing on Friday to see if there's merits in having this be looked at more. At first, people thought there was no jurisdiction with the city or with different people on this, that it was a federal matter and that they didn't need to have any permits and they didn't need to do anything. We're finding out, actually, that there is some jurisdiction. I think Commissioner Salzman has been working with the tree people in the forestry to actually realize they need to get permits, they need to have mitigation. This has been something that we have been kind of the David and Goliath fighting this. We're gaining headway, and I'm just trying to let you know how well we're doing, but also the city does have jurisdiction here, and this is something that we can all weigh in on. And Wyden's office, Blumenauer's office, Tina Kotek's office, you guys, if we could do this like Sacramento did, where they really pulled this together and had a thoughtful discussion on the trees on the levee, rather than this rush to cut all these trees down, which has been happening. So we're here to say, please help us. We've taken this as far as we feel like we're going to keep fighting this. But, you know, now the neighbor, I wanted you to know where the neighborhood is at, because the neighborhood understands that some trees may need to come down. We're not against some trees coming down. We just think that we should have a written plan, that there should be an engineered plan, that there should be a mitigation plan in place, and none of those things have happened. There's been very little notice, nothing presented in writing, no engineering studies, and the mitigation plan is, trust us, we'll work it out next year after we've cut down all the trees. And we need something better than that, and we need to support this levee in a way that at the end of the day, the science is unclear whether this is even a necessary thing or whether cutting down the trees might actually harm the levee. This is a lot of unknowns. So we'd like to have your help with these other agencies' help to just hold the drainage district accountable and then cut the trees after we have a good written plan. So we're here to just encourage you to stand with us.
And what kind of response have you gotten to your request for a plan, and from whom?
What's happening is we get a lot of verbal discussions and nothing in writing, and everyone who talks gets a slightly different version. From let's have a really collaborative process to a one-day notice that 111 trees are being cut down and the chainsaws are winding up. So it's just uneven. Sometimes the words are just right, but we've seen nothing in writing, nothing.
I would add that myself and County Commissioner Kogan had sent a letter to the Corps of Engineers, which was followed pretty rapidly thereafter by a letter from Senator Wyden and Congressman Blumenauer, asking to slow things down, to look at the Sacramento experience in more detail. And then also in the interim, Dave McAllister, our city forester, who is here if the council wants to hear from him, but he has suspended or revoked permits for a number of those trees, tree cutting permits for a number of those trees. I will say the letter we got back from the Corps seemed to point out that the Sacramento experience was very different. So it was a long letter, didn't say much. But we're working pretty well together, the urban forestry, the neighbors. There is a BDS angle in here too, as I recall.
I think it's even the trees that have been cut down, it's going to be important for us to hold them accountable. The trees that have already been cut, there's about 10, and the roots go underneath Marine Drive. And when those roots rot out, they are going to weaken that levee significantly. And currently, there is no plan that the district or the Corps has to remove those roots. And it's frankly going to be a lot bigger job than they have even imagined to do that.
Well, and I would point out on a related subject that's not directly related to this that, I'm very familiar with the drainage district. They're great people. They do great work. But this is the kind of thing that can happen when we have separate governmental entities within the city of Portland performing tasks that other city bureaus do. Specifically, if BES did have control over that, we do have a system here that I think would have avoided those initial trees even being taken down, because the drainage district is an entity unto themselves. And for some historical reason, when we annexed that area into the city, they didn't get merged into BES as fire has and police has and other governmental entities have, and it's been an oddity to me, although I just want to repeat, I've raised this subject in the legislature and actually proposed a bill to do that once, and the backlash from the folks in the drainage district was swift and severe. I spent a lot of time there touring it, and I agree they do a great job, but I think this is an example of the kind of thing I feared could happen and probably will happen in the future because of the lack of accountability up to our government.
Commissioner, as you probably know, the Drainage District Board is elected by landowners, not by a vote of the public.
Right. I am aware of that.
And we've had a wonderful relationship with the Drainage District, Bridge the Neighborhood, for years and years and years. This is really the first time that we've been at odds, and it's really troubling to us because we actually agree that they've been exemplary until this thing. It's the first time I've been really disappointed with drive to cut these trees down.
But in their defense, they're doing what the feds told them to do. And my bigger point is that the feds told us to do something, we have a process we use here before we go out and start cutting trees. And somewhere in that process, somebody would have went, hold on here. And we have a federal lobbyist that worked for us. We are in touch with the system. And I'm not at all suggesting that they maliciously went out and did that. And their chain of command goes up to these elected property owners. And that's where it stops. And ours is completely different. And I just think we would have avoided this whole thing. At least the trees being cut, maybe ultimately we wouldn't have won. But we have a whole system here. We use the communicate with the feds about that's very sophisticated that the Drainage District does not have.
Good. Well, we want to collaborate. We're willing to work. We're willing to work soon. We're willing to meet the deadlines. We're willing to have a safe levy. We're willing to do whatever, but we need to have an open place at this table with a transparent process that somehow doesn't feel that way. And so we're really glad what the forester is doing, whatever involvement you want to have, and we're here to be part of that, and we really want your help.
Thanks for your efforts.
Do you have a copy of the Corps' letter that responded to Commissioner Salzman?
I think some people behind me may have that. And actually, we'd like the forester to meet Dr. Gray, who is probably an expert on levee landscaping, who's flown in to help us here. And then one of the people that have been working with us legally is back here, and they probably have all those letters. I don't personally have it in my file.
If not, we can get you a copy.
Well, yeah, I can provide copies to everybody.
Good. Thank you.
Thanks, folks. Moving on to the consent agenda, do any of the commissioners wish to pull any items from the consent agenda? the member of this audience wish to pull any item from the consent agenda?
Mayor, we had a request for 1141. That's Commissioner Adams. 1141, they requested that be pulled.
All right.
Referred back to your office.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Hearing no objection, please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read the 9:30 time, sir.
Item 1133, authorize a license agreement with the Japanese Garden Society of Oregon to operate and manage the Japanese Garden in Washington Park.
Mr. Saltzman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and members of the council. It's a pleasure to bring this item before council. This arrangement between the Japanese Garden Society of Oregon and the City of Portland stands as an outstanding model of how public and private entities can work together for the greater benefit of the city as a whole. The Portland Japanese Garden is a showpiece in our park system. In 2007 alone, we anticipate more than 181,000 individuals will visit the garden, visitors from all over the country and beyond our borders. Additionally, the Japanese Garden is viewed as an important local asset, providing essential urban green space just minutes from downtown. The garden demonstrates our city's commitment and value to honoring and representing a diversity of cultures and experiences within our parks. For almost 45 years, the Japanese Garden Society of Oregon has expertly managed this haven of tranquility and beauty for the benefit of all of us. As an organization, they have managed a garden that has an estimated economic impact of $7.5 million a year. They oversee 25 permanent and 10 seasonal employees and cultivate the support of 4,800 members who annually contribute to the maintenance of this internationally recognized cultural icon. As we move forward with renewing this agreement, I'd like to acknowledge the Executive Director, Stephen Bloom, and the entire Board of Directors and Board Chair who's here today, John Hall. I want to commend you and our staff for taking such outstanding care of this important public asset. So thank you, and I'll turn it now over to Robin Grimwade.
Thank you, Commissioner. Robin Grimway, Portland Parks and Recreation. As the Commissioner indicated, we're here today to seek your approval for a license agreement that will authorize the continuation of the Japanese Garden's management by the Japanese Garden Society. With me today is John Hall, Chairman of the Japanese Garden Society, and Steve Bloom, the Executive Director. And I'd like to hand over to those two gentlemen for some brief comments.
Good morning. Thank you very much for your kind words. We are excited about this lease and about this agreement and about our continuing relationship with the city. We really feel that the Japanese Garden is such a critical part of the community here in Portland. And beyond Portland, it also speaks to international repute. I mean, we are considered to be the finest Japanese garden in the world outside of Japan. And I recently, actually just last week, came back from Japan for the International Japanese Garden Conference, and we are known. It was actually quite fun. I'm new to this job within the last couple of years, and everybody wanted to know me because I was with the Portland Japanese Garden, which is a really exciting thing. So it's internationally known. It's nationally known. We were just selected one of 12 gardens in the entire United States to participate in a national exhibit in Washington, D.C. as part of the U.S. Botanic Gardens exhibit. And we built a Japanese garden on the steps of the U.S. Capitol building, which has been up since May. It's being taken down next week. Over 500,000 people actually saw that exhibit. And more than 30 million people read about that exhibit in articles that were done in the New York Times, the Washington Post, and so on. We are a great resource, I think, for the city of Portland. We make this a livable city, but we also reach beyond the city of Portland as well. We've been working also, as you may know, with our partners in Washington Park in terms of addressing opportunities for collaboration and addressing issues that no individual organization can really handle on their own, issues that pertain to the park. And on October 25th, all of you have been invited to attend a a breakfast in which all the nonprofits within Washington Park want to have a discussion, a dialogue with you about some of those opportunities for collaboration and about some of the challenges moving forward that we face. So we'll look forward to seeing you hopefully on October 25th at that breakfast. The board of directors of the Japanese Garden Society of Oregon have ratified this agreement at their last board meeting, and it was done so without objection. And so we look forward to a continued relationship and collaboration moving forward. So thank you.
I'm John Hall, and you have a busy agenda today, and I think that Steve has spoken very well for us already. So unless you have questions for me, I won't add anything else. Thank you.
If I can just also add one thing, I do want to thank everyone, to Commissioner Saltzman, for his support with the Parks Bureau, Zeri Santner, Robin Grimwade, who was critical in putting this agreement together, Bob Downing and Bob Stilson, who serve on committees and work with us on a regular basis at the Garden, and Zelaine Nunn, who helped to negotiate this agreement, but also one of our board members, Dean Alterman, who helped us on this side. All of these people, it's an incredible relationship we have right now and have had for years with the city, and we really appreciate, without those key individuals, that relationship wouldn't exist the way it does. So thank you.
Thank you. Questions? Well, I'm just very impressed with the gardens. We take our friends and from out of town there, and council has actually held several meetings there for budgets and other things. So we enjoy it up there as well. And the fact that we have such a high stature, I think, attests to the fact that you folks have been good guardians of that particular piece of property and have turned it into something that's world-class, and I want to thank you for that.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks, folks. It's a non-emergency and moves to a second reading. Oops. Let's go ahead and move to the regular agenda because we have to wait till at least 10 o'clock before hearing the 10 a.m. time certain. Commissioner Adams?
1149.
Are the right people here for 1149?
They may not be here until after the 10:30, expecting to be here.
We could go to 1149.
We'll do 1149, the first item on the regular agenda.
Oh, what about, okay, then let's go to the first.
1149.
Yes.
Authorized charitable organizations eligible to participate in the city 2008 combined charitable campaign.
Staff? They're probably not here either. I think all of you, though, this was in regards to the issue that was raised last time about notifying, providing people the tax
and
deduction information.
Yeah, my concern last time was that employees are not getting a letter, a receipt letter from the organizations they contribute through payroll at the end of the year for tax deduction purposes. I've had correspondence with Andrew Scott and Tom Feely, and they have changed that now. They're going to make sure that each organization sends a letter to each employee who does contribute with the amount that they gave. So that's probably the news that Tom Feely was going to bring here today.
So that's pretty much we can.
There's Tom right there.
Tom, you want? Yes, please.
Good morning. I'm Tom Feely, Office of Management and Finance. Sorry I'm late. I was upstairs in a meeting. They weren't watching the TV. The ordinance before you is to authorize the charitable campaign for this year. As you recall, I believe it was up 3 weeks ago, and Commissioner Saltzman had some questions about whether or not the charities in total issued receipts. So we have contacted each and every one of the federations, and they have agreed to provide written receipts this year. In fact, apparently the IRS regulations have tightened, according to them, so they were kind of ahead of us on this. So anyway, I think it's fine, and we'll make sure that it's in our language with them and our agreement, and we'll make it very clear on the employee pledge form that employees will be getting a written receipt. Some of the charities in the past apparently have had some sort of benchmark for receipts. Like, some of them didn't issue it for under, like, $200, but I think we've taken care of that.
So maybe if Dan gave more money, he'd have got a receipt.
Pardon?
If Dan gave more money, he would have got a receipt.
Actually, he's very generous.
Oh, good save, Tom. Good save.
True.
Further questions?
Please move on.
Did anybody sign up to testify on this matter?
I did not have a sign-up sheet for this.
Yeah, I know. I know. I know. That's what I get.
Please call the vote.
Adams?
Thanks for following up on that. It's a good idea.
Thank you.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Yeah, I appreciate getting this nailed down once and for all. Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Let's move to the next item, 1150.
Accept bid of Dunn Construction for the Selwood Reliever Sewer Project for $2,787,538.
Staff?
I don't think Jeff is here yet. We could do 1153.
Yes, let's go ahead and do 1153. Second reading, please call the vote.
1153, amend secondhand dealer regulations. Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
After last week's, what I consider to be a really interesting exchange on this issue, I was invited to go out to East Precinct and spend some time with the officers in the unit out there and the commander, and I was very impressed with the work that they're doing in developing a system to track stolen materials in secondhand stores and the new computer system they're working to get that will allow instant entrance of items purchased at a secondhand store that will be flagged immediately by the police, who will have terminals to be able to instantly tell if that material raises any flags. So I really appreciate, Mayor Potter, your direction of this, the work and the responsiveness I got from the police bureau on some of the concerns that I raised last time. I think that they're just doing a great job in this effort and fully support their work and future requests for funding to implement the computer system that they'll need to finish this job. Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
And I, too, wanted to thank the police bureau and, in particular, Sergeant King, who is in charge of the pawn shop detail.
Yeah.
So they're doing a good job. They've really done a good job of reorganizing and getting down to business. And I also appreciate the involvement of the secondhand stores and the pawn shops in terms of their willingness to work with the city. And I see it as a pretty good collaborative effort, but one that will provide a strict oversight. So I vote aye.
Can we do 54?
Let's see. Yes, please.
Someone is here for 1150 and 1151.
Okay.
Can we do 1150 and 1151?
Okay, let's go ahead and do 1150.
1150, accept bid of Dunn Construction for the Selwood Reliever Sewer Project for $2,787,538.
Good morning, Mayor Potter and members of City Council. Christine Moody with the Bureau of Purchases. Before you is a purchasing agent report recommending an award on bid number 107775 for the Selwood Reliever Sewer Project for the Bureau of Environmental Services to Dunn Construction in the amount of $2,787,538. BES, along with purchases, identified six divisions of work for potential MWSB participation. Participation for this project represents 76.2% of the identified subcontracting dollars. And that's all I had. I'll turn it back over to you for any questions.
Well, I think we're all very pleased to see the amount going to the MWESB folks. Thank you.
Move to accept.
Second.
Please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Go ahead. Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read item 1151.
Accept bid of Carter and Company, Inc. for the Southeast Foster Road Bridge at Southeast Barbara Welch Road project for $1,787,510.
Good morning. Christine Moody, Bureau of Purchases. And before you is a purchasing agent report recommending an award on bid number 107840 for the Foster Road Bridge at Southeast Barbara Welch Road project for the Transportation Engineering and Development to Carter & Company in the amount of $1,787,510.73. And PDOT, along with purchases, identified 16 divisions of work for MWSB participation, and participation for this project represents 90% of the identified subcontracting dollars. I'll turn it back over to you for any questions.
I just had one. We discussed this some years back, this particular intersection. Does this project include installing the signal, the traffic signal, at that intersection of Barbara Welch Road and Foster? Or is it just the bridge? It mentions in here electrical work in the order, and I'm wondering if that includes the...
I don't know. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
Sorry, the project manager isn't in attendance today, so he.
And it does say traffic sign installation removal. So.
Would you like somebody to get back to you on that?
That'd be great. Okay. That's a dangerous intersection. I've been kind of following that, so thanks. Okay.
Move approval.
Second.
Please call the vote.
Adams.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye.
Please read the 10 a.m. time, sir.
Agenda item 1134, accept the Children's Bill of Rights, City of Portland, Youth Engagement Inventory.
The youth program aides come forward and other folks. This is as a result of when we passed a year ago August, the Children and Youth Bill of Rights, there are a number of things we wanted to do to help implement it. One of them was to assess all of the city programs that are involved with young people. And I think these folks have done a great job of compiling a report of the available programs as well as some recommendations for to fill in some of the gaps and also some next steps. So whoever wants to start, please state your name for the record.
Hi, I'm Jack McNichol. I'm 17 years old, and I'm a senior at Grant High School. I am the co-chair of the Multnomah Youth Commission.
My name is Lisa Frank. I'm a youth program aide working in the mayor's office as part of the youth planner program in the Bureau of Planning, and I'm a junior at Lincoln High School.
My name is E. Dominguez. I'm the other youth program aide, and I've graduated from Park Rose and now work for the Bill of Rights as a youth planner.
And for the purposes of this report, we'd like to define youth as anyone under the age of 24 who is currently working, living, or attending school in Portland.
I don't know what this report is. This isn't us. There, okay.
All right. So the need for youth engagement is pretty clear. It can be seen that more than a fifth of Portland's population is youth. However, only a fourth of them feel that they are truly civically engaged in their communities. And 9 out of 10 of them said they would be more involved if they had a chance. So one of the big themes in our report is that youth want to be engaged, but they aren't being given opportunities. And one of our big purposes in the report is to identify ways to get them more engaged. This report revolves around the Children's Bill of Rights, which was started back in May of 2005. It was started with a kickoff event co-hosted by Mayor Potter and then Chair Lynn. And about 100 youth attended, and they talked about what they thought were the most essential rights for young people in their communities. After that, a core group of youth edited and revised and came up with an additional document, which was taken to the Bill of Rights Convention in June of 2006. There, over 500 youth edited the document, and over the summer, it was additionally revised. In August of 2006, the City Council adopted it, and in May of 2007, the County Commission did. Just last week, the City and the County jointly adopted an intergovernmental agreement that it identified the Youth Commission as their joint youth policy advisory body.
So now we'd like to call up a few youth commissioners who are going to read sections of our Bill of Rights, Children and Youth.
Good
The first article is Voice. We, the children and the youth of Portland and Multnomah County, are entitled to a voice and opinion in decisions that will impact our lives.
Article 2, Education. We, the children and youth of Portland and Multnomah County, are entitled to a quality public education that will help us succeed in the future, beginning in preschool and continuing through high school and beyond.
Article 3, Health. We, the children and youth of Portland and Multnomah County, have the right to physical, mental, and spiritual wellness.
Article 4, General Well-being. We, the children and youth of Portland and Multnomah County, have the right to be provided with the tools that will lead to a healthy and productive life.
Article 5, Family, Home, and Community. We, the children and youth of Portland and Multnomah County, have the right to loving care and a healthy environment at home, as our homes, families, and community provides the basis for our development.
Article 6, Recreation. We, the children and the youth of Multnomah County, deserve an access to a safe and clean recreational area.
Thank you. So now we're going to go through how all of this work came together, because as you've seen, there are a number of partners that were essential to making this process happen. So it all started off with a partnership between the City of Portland, the Multnomah Youth Commission, and Multnomah County. And those bodies came together to create the document called Our Bill of Rights, Children and Youth. From that document and the resolution adopting it, as well as initiatives, came a number of programs at the City of Portland, including the Youth Planner Program. That's what E and I are a part of. And our job is to engage youth in the creation of the Portland Plan. We were also charged with doing this inventory of all the youth programs and services. And in addition, we support the action teams, which are composed of city employees, county employees, community representatives, and youth commissioners, whose job is to create the implementation plan for Our Bill of Rights, Children and Youth. And in addition, since Our Bill of Rights, Children and Youth was adopted by the Multnomah County Board of Commissioners, it influences their six-year community plan. And all of this is leading to positive youth development.
So now we get to the purpose of this report. So the reason why we're here is because you asked us to make this report last August when you adopted the resolution that endorsed the Youth Bill of Rights. You asked us to create a report of what goes on currently in the city regarding youth engagement.
So talking about the process or what kind of method would you use for this, we first went to Portland Online and researched any website that mentioned youth or offered services to youth or provided a program, even if it was a one-time thing. Also volunteer opportunities and other youth engagement. And then we scheduled meetings with people from every bureau and talked about what the bureau was actually doing, making sure that if there was something not listed on the website or if the information was correct or outdated or wrong, that we could edit that and make sure that the information was correct and make sure that we got as much information into this report as we could. From there, we were looking for existing programs the bureaus have wanted to do but haven't had the resources to create, what challenges the bureaus were facing when they were trying to create these things. Then we collectively identified solutions to those challenges, working with the bureaus and the youth program aides, and looked further at recommendations on how the different bureaus can engage youth better. We came back to the bureaus and checked that the information that we compiled from that and all the recommendations that we had created were accurate and complete. And we also wanted to make sure that the bureaus agreed to what we had created and make sure we had their buy-in. So as a result, in the report, we created six kind of key areas, the benefits to engaging youth, the challenges to engaging youth, three key recommendations that we kind of saw that would help to make the rest of the recommendations true, three long-term recommendations, current programs, and then bureau-specific recommendations, making sure that every bureau had things that they could do themselves to engage youth further. The three things we're talking about in this presentation are the benefits, the challenges, and then our recommendations. The rest of that is listed in the report that was given to you. So the first benefit that we came up with from this report was media and technology. Because youth are growing up in a generation that technology is really a right that you're given at birth, and you grow up with a cell phone in your hand, and you grow up, when you come out of your mom's womb, they give you, a computer, and you start going from there. So because youth have been raised with this technology since birth, they're tech savvy. They know how to use everything, and they're really helpful in creating tools for websites and things like that. And because if you're trying to engage youth, talking to the population that you're trying to engage is really effective, and they know what they want or what appeals to them. And they're really quick to learn computer and phone systems, so it makes them really great at being front people, at answering phones and being receptionists and doing that kind of work.
And I just want to add, these benefits are directly from the results of our interviews with people from different bureaus. These are things that we saw consistently throughout our interviews, that this is what the city employees thought were the key benefits. So then moving on, the next benefit is new perspectives. We heard time and time again that bureaus were able to solve problems and look at issues in a new way when they had youth at the table, because age is really a key component of culture, and being a young person shapes your view of the world in a much different way than an adult.
The third benefit that we saw is a possibility for careers, which really is a benefit for both the youth and the people engaging in this, and also the city. A lot of people, because of the baby boomer generation, are retiring, and we need people to fill jobs that are available now. And if we aren't engaging youth early and often, they're not going to want to be interested in those jobs later in their career. So we need to make sure that before they're in high school, or even when they're in high school, they know about these opportunities, so that when they go into college and beyond, they know what kind of skills and where to focus their education so they can get these jobs.
So the fourth benefit we identified was related to outreach. And we heard that many bureaus really want to do outreach to youth, but they don't know how. And so those bureaus that engage youth in doing peer-to-peer outreach found it to be very successful, partially because of the media and technology. Youth can create new materials to reach out to their peers. And also peer-to-peer education is a really effective method of doing outreach.
And the last benefit, which I feel is one of the greatest ones, is the fact that youth exceed the expectations that are set out for them. Youth learn quickly, work effectively, and produce higher quality work than the adults think that they can. And youth are passionate and dedicated, and they really want to make a change. And like we were talking about earlier, if that engagement is there, the youth are willing to take that. And it's really about giving the youth the ability to make that change and really give them a chance to give their input. And it'll make a really big difference.
So the main challenges to youth engagement were identified the same way as the benefits, by looking at everything we heard from the city employees. And the first one that came up was resources. It takes extra money, extra time, and extra work to support youth in meaningful roles. So resources includes challenges, it includes funding for programs, funding for outreach, all of that.
The second challenge that we came up with the bureaus was training and support. A lot of people, both young and adult, didn't know how to work with each other. The youth didn't know how to work with adults. They'd never been in that kind of situation. They didn't ever have a first job, and so they didn't know how things work. And adults didn't know how to work with youth and how to engage them effectively, and maybe felt that they had to be parents instead of support or even just a coworker. And many adults didn't have the experience working with youth as a partner and not just as a supervisor. And so they needed to learn those skills for positive youth development. And likewise, the youth had to learn those skills of how to work with an adult and how to let them know what they need.
So our third challenge is outreach. You may remember this was a benefit as well, because adult employees had a lot of challenge doing outreach to youth when they didn't have youth involved in the outreach, because, as we said before, either they weren't experienced, they didn't know how to reach youth, or maybe they didn't have the time to go into classrooms. So this was one of the main challenges we saw.
So from these benefits and challenges, we came up with recommendations that would kind of help address some of those challenges and make it easier for the bureaus to engage youth. And the first one we came up with, we're calling Youth Champion Awards. This award would be given to champions in the different bureaus working for the city that have really led youth engagement and have gone far, far beyond what was expected of them or even what they're paid for, and volunteered their time to make sure that youth are engaged positively in these ways. This can be in mentoring or in partnering with youth or just giving youth a voice or collaborating with them. So there's different areas, and these awards would be given by the Youth Commission, and the people would be chosen by other people in their working areas, so different people in their bureaus.
And our second key recommendation is for a public safety partnership. And this would involve getting all the public safety bureaus, for example, emergency management and fire, together to engage and educate youth. And one idea we had for how this might look would be, let's say emergency management would show the movie The Day After Tomorrow in a Portland park. And afterwards, they would co-facilitate a discussion with the youth commissioner about the accuracy of the movie or the inaccuracy of the movie and how this could apply to Portland and what emergency management might do if some of the emergencies in the movie happened here and what youth could do in their communities. So this would provide an easy way for the bureaus to do outreach to youth and engage youth and as well as educate the public.
And the last one that we came up with is the Youth Civic Engagement Project. We've been talking about a lot how youth don't know what the city does or what the county does and what civics really even is and how they can get involved. So what we would do is we would create a core group of youth that would use that peer education model to go into classrooms and facilitate those presentations and talk to youth about what they can actually do to engage the city and what it actually is out there for them and just letting them know about either services or job opportunities and make sure that this is all youth-led. The presentations are created for youth and by youth. And with the help of the bureaus, we find out what information is relevant, but how to present it in a way that is susceptible or a good way to present it to the youth. It's going to be focusing on increasing awareness and the want to participate, giving youth the place to get involved since the need is already there, focusing on civics because local government isn't part of curriculum that's taught. We'd learn about national government and even a little bit about state government, but we never really go on a local level and talk about how youth can really make a difference in their own communities. And then addressing the outreach and training barriers that go along with some of the challenges that we've seen so far.
And then the second part of this civic engagement project is related to websites. And when E and I were doing our research, we literally read through every page on Portland Online, and it was very difficult to find the information we were looking for. And so we thought that one way to address that challenge is, because most people don't have time to read through every website, I wouldn't recommend it.
not that it's not great, but...
Yeah. So we decided that if companion sites to Portland Online were created specifically for youth, that would help address that barrier because you would have all the information related to young people in one place. So all the programs, all the job opportunities, internships, volunteer opportunities, and really concise information about what the bureaus do that's easy for a young person to understand. And to go along with that, we would also have all the information E and I have gathered on that report for youth who are interested in what opportunities are available. And we would have the civics curriculum on the website as a resource for teachers or students wanting to teach their peers about it.
We would like to thank all of the elected officials who have supported the Bill of Rights, this City Council, the County Commission, and former County Chair Diane Lynn. And we would also like to thank many people who have helped us through this, especially the Commission on Children, Families, and Communities of Multnomah County, the Mayor's Office, the Multnomah Youth Commission, and the more than 50 people who are Bureau staffers who spend a lot of time interviewing with Ian and Lisa. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
So what we're hoping from this report, when we created this report, we really wanted to have a really comprehensive inventory of everything that was happening. The problem is that we weren't talking to as many of the right people as we needed to, and we were having a hard time really finding everything out because one person didn't know something that another person did, and programs were could be specific to one person in a bureau or could be a program that the bureau helps to create but isn't really headlining. So we want this inventory process to be even more comprehensive. And a way that that can happen is by having the support of the commissioners to make sure that we have the information and we have every single thing that's happening for each of these bureaus. In talking with the mayor, I saw that we missed a couple things in police, and we kind of feel bad about that. But the issue was that we weren't given all the information that we needed, and so we weren't able to compile it well. So we needed to talk to more people in the bureaus, not just one key person per every bureau. To really find out and make sure that we had everything that was really comprehensive. So that's kind of the hope that this report is not finished, but that we can continue building on the momentum that we have now and make sure that we eventually get this to a point where we are not only updating it every time something new is created, but making sure that everything that already is existing is in the report.
Thank you very much. You folks did a wonderful job. I want to advise the commissioners, which I'm sure you already know, but this document was put together by this committee and this group, and I just think they did a superb job. I'm very proud of you.
Well, I was going to say this in my closing remarks, but since the mayor's acknowledged the document itself, in addition to the great recommendations, you could teach a lot of adults how to write a report. Not only did you identify the problem, you were very specific within each bureau how to provide a solution, which is extremely useful and will be used.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So are you two going to be the ones that will establish a youth-friendly website?
That's a really great question. With us being youth program aides, the first task that we had was to create this inventory for the city. And then our second task was to engage youth in the Portland plan. Since we've kind of filled our first task, we're really soon going to be moving, once our coordinator's hired, to the Bureau of Planning and working to effectively engage youth in the Portland plan. So at this point, we weren't the ones that were going to be implementing these recommendations, but I'm sure there's someone that would be willing to take on this task, and I don't know if the mayor has anything else to say about that.
And I have something to add.
There you go.
He has already learned the value of segues.
Yes, he has.
Deflect.
Yes, he has.
But, you know, as we were discussing this in the office, I really felt like we needed to continue the engagement, not just at planning, but making sure that the additional programs that are in the bureaus that have not been provided here will come about, but also just to continue to encourage the different bureaus to stay involved. We looked around. We found some money in the mayor's office budget, and we're going to be hiring a full-time person as a youth engagement coordinator, and I've talked to E about it. And just for your information, just a reminder, there are two folks here that are in high school still. I mean, these guys are good. I keep forgetting that they're in high school. But E is not, and we're going to make it a temporary job until we can better define all the parameters, and E will help us with that. But we're going to be hiring him on a full-time basis. And E, thank you for accepting the position.
You're welcome. We still do have some testimony for people that I really
that's
anxious
pretty good
to
negotiating
speak.
A job here.
Wow. That's good. Well, it's transparent, isn't it?
Take note, adults. That's how you do it.
Thank you very much.
We're going to step down to let the people testify.
Thank you.
Are they signed up on the sheet?
Yes.
Okay, very good. Carla, please call the first three.
We have Laurel Buttman, Tiffany Penson, and Anika Shore. You could come up.
Good morning. I'm Laurel Buttman. I work in the Office of Management and Finance, and I'm so happy to be here today. One of the things that I've done with youth in the past is that I've run, for the last 10 years, an internship program in business operations in the Office of Management and Finance, and we've had more than 90 interns come through, many of which are within this definition of 23 and younger, and a handful, including a handful of high school students that came through as well. And I've learned a lot from these folks. They bring a fresh perspective, as E was saying before. They have a willingness to try new things. And they bring us ideas for connecting with the younger community. And it's been just wonderful. Many of these people are still working at the city. As a matter of fact, they've moved on to bureau work. And my indicator of success is always when they say to me before they leave, I will always vote. So,
good.
Yeah, it is good. So it's very fortuitous that this happened when it did, because this summer we had, on my team, already started researching and had run our first youth focus group to talk about web pages for youth, because we realized that Portland Online is very difficult for youth to engage with. And so when E and Lisa and I sat down and talked, this kind of flourished in terms of an idea, and I am just so fortunate because we're finding that working with our end users in partnership to make parts of the website work for them best, like the business community we've been working with, is really the way to go. And so I'm looking forward to this partnership. We'll be definitely moving forward with that, with working with youth to make that happen. So I wanted to confirm that we are going there. And I'll be helping to lead that effort, but we'll be doing it in partnership with youth. So this is very exciting to me, and that's all I had to say. I just wanted to say a few words today.
Thank you. Hi, good morning, all. My name is Tiffany Penson, and I am the Outreach Program Coordinator for the Bureau of Development Services. This summer, Commissioner Randy Leonard and Director Paul Scarlett supported the customer services team proposal to partner with the Portland Public Schools School to Work program. BDS incorporated some career days, some job shadowing opportunities, and some internship employment for Park Row students this summer. This was done in addition to the Summer Youth Education Program partnership with ERCO. Through this program, BDS was able to hire 5 students from Park Row High School School to Work program, in addition to the 5 students provided by ERCO to work in various sections of the Bureau, such as site development, document services, compliance services, etc. The School to Work program was funded by the BDS Customer Service Section, and the other students were funded by ERCO. From my experience, there are many positive benefits from working with youth. Engaging youth gives the students the opportunity to learn and experience work early in life, which is vital to helping them make decisions about their future. It also gives the staff the opportunity to mentor youth and make a difference in their lives. It incorporates diversity in our workforce on all levels. It teaches youth a huge amount of responsibility and sets the foundation for strong work ethic, which is vital to achieving success. It also enhanced the Bureau's quality of business because the students brought fresh eyes and ideas to the way we do business. This summer, we incorporated some of their suggestions on how to make processes more efficient, such as scanning all documents and entering into the database, and also streamlining our archiving process. Most importantly, all the staff bragged about their students and how much work they completed. Several of the staff asked if I could extend their stay longer than 6 weeks or if I could come up with an after-school program during the school year where they could come in and work a couple of hours. I said that I'm sure you'd let me do that, Commissioner.
a little bit more bargaining
is good, too, yeah. A little more negotiation.
I had so many great experiences working with the youth. My favorite is the social aspect that I incorporate into the job experience. I took them on field trips to the Armory and the Pearl, the tram tour, ate at my 2 favorite spots, Mio Gelato and Flying Pie Pizzeria. That's important. And we just had a great time. A lot of the youth had not even been to the Pearl or even known any of these places, so it's great. I exposed them to the city council meetings, one which was quite interesting amongst you all up here.
Was that one where Dan was out of control again?
No, it was always you.
I had to say something, didn't I?
That's okay. I like it. I love it. This helps students understand how government works and also their civic duties. I felt it was important for you to know and experience the fruit of this great city. In my opinion, it is equally important to be socially educated as it is to be book educated. In addition to the social education, Commissioner Randy Leonard has agreed to sponsor theater tickets of the student's choice at the Armory Girding Theater for the students this upcoming fall. Thank you. I wish to further the Bureau's engagement in working with the youth by expanding the school to work opportunity to other high schools, starting with Roosevelt and Jefferson this next summer, which will increase the number of student internships. I also plan on getting other bureaus involved in the school to work program as well. I intend to incorporate youth from the Bill and Melinda Gates Connected by 25 program because I consider youth to be up to the age of 25. The 20 through 25 age group would benefit from this great work experience and mentoring as well. But of course, to do all this, the Bureau would need funding dedicated to expanding this program. I think it's vitally important that the youth program and funding get approved throughout the city, thus providing more jobs and educational opportunities for youth. Once this is in place, all bureaus will be able to capitalize on this opportunity. We at BDS have already begun to look for additional ways to engage the youth and have already capitalized on this opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Annika Shore, and I'm the Youth HIV Education Coordinator at Cascade AIDS Project, which is an AIDS services organization that's been around in Portland for over 20 years. I was asked to just speak about the value of youth engagement on behalf of the community. I've been involved in the peer education model type of education that you heard E talking about since I was 16. And the experience as a peer educator that I had doing HIV prevention education in my community informed the work that I did essentially for the rest of my life. So I can speak to it on a personal level as well. The program I run is called Teen to Teen, and it's a peer education program designed to provide HIV prevention education in the community for youth. E was a member of my group, which is why I have the benefit of being here today. And the Teen to Teen program operates on the sort of fundamental assumption that the number one population that has the energy and the power to activate youth are youth. And I've seen that be successful across the board. The thing I've learned the most, I think, in the work that I've done is that youth know what they need. They just don't know who to talk to about it or how to get it. And the Teen to Teen program provides the space for them to do that. Adults are excellent at providing external resources and mentorship and guidance, and youth are excellent at providing education to their peers. The Youth Bill of Rights is incredible. I've never had the opportunity to interact with city government at this level, and I really congratulate you on providing youth the space to do this. My recommendation is that you let these youth run with all the resources you have to give them because they can make exceptional change. And on behalf of the community, I can definitely say that being given the opportunity to interact and network and engage with you in this way is something that I would love to continue, and my agency would love to continue, and I know that other agencies would as well. So congratulations, and thank you for providing this opportunity.
Thank you. Thank you for the work you do for our community. Thanks, folks. Thank you, too. You guys are great.
Our next three are Nate Washul, Angelica Arroyo, and Stacy Neve.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, would you please state your name for the record, and you each have 3 minutes. Somebody.
We named you first. I think you
okay,
first.
Great. good morning. My name is Nate Washul, and I'm here to speak as a community member involved in the Youth Bill of Rights. For the past 3 years, I've worked with the Oregon Council for Hispanic Advancement. And there, I directed a youth empowerment and mentoring program. Through my work at OCHA, I worked to engage Latino youth from across Portland in the planning and creation of the Youth Bill of Rights. And I continue to work with the Voice Committee of the bill. During this project and others, I've been repeatedly humbled by the insight, abilities, and desire to serve the community that I have found in these young people whose voices are so often marginalized. Nate, I want to help the community, a young woman named Denise once told me through an OCHA program. I just don't really know what to do. She hadn't been mentored or empowered to share her gifts, and the space had not been created for her to contribute. As I move on from my time at OCHA this month, I carry with me the memory of Denise's questions and commitment, and I also carry a commitment of my own to help our Bill of Rights, children and youth, move from ideals into action on behalf of the young people like Denise who want to engage and improve our community. It's worth remembering, I believe, that this week, exactly 50 years ago, 9 African-American youth were escorted by armed federal troops into Little Rock Central High School to simply have the opportunity to study and learn alongside their white peers